All right, we're still studying Luke chapter 36. I mean, chapter 12, verse 36.
And you yourselves are like unto men that wait for the Lord, their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that he may cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. We studied all the rest except immediately. If we, as we study this whole series of scriptures, everything is about hasting, waiting with expectantly, expecting something to come immediately. There's never a time in which there is not this sense of I don't know how to say it, confident expecting something. It's going to happen in the next breath. If you don't see that, then by definition it'll never be zeal, because you think you have time. Everybody understand that? I've got time for my life. I've got time to do stuff. Things to go, do, places to go. Rabbits to run. That's fine. Go run the rabbit. But by definition, we are instructed to wait expectantly, as if something momentous is going to happen in the next breath. So let's look at immediately a minute.
I have a little example. I built a tree house for this guy. He'd been out of town, and I was waiting expectantly for him to come back.
So you get paid.
Get paid and actually to see him rejoice over how great it looked, you know. And that's kind of how I interpret this. You're waiting expectantly for the Lord's return, because confidently you think everything's all right, you know. You're cool.
All right, let's look at some immediately. Let's look at one that's interesting, Mark chapter 4. And when we get to here, you'll see that this has happened many times to us. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Now the word "immediately" there is something we've seen many times. That people come or hear, and, "Oh, this is the greatest thing I ever heard. Blah, 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 blah. I've been waiting all my life to hear this. Blah, 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 blah." And then you can bet that anybody that says that, they'll be gone in a few, in a few breaths. So there's an immediacy of the mind thinking that this is something that it can use. And so it falls on stony ground, no depth. Anyway, so let's look at another immediate. Let's go to another, Revelation chapter 4.
That depth is down where the water is, so it can be fed and hurry.
Yeah. we had just, in Revelation there, we had just finished the message to the seven churches. And then he said, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, well, I don't want to compare myself to this, but I want to tell you about a couple of instances where this immediacy happened. It happened in my conversion experience. And I just said, Father, if what this guy is saying is true, if you really exist, then that's what I want. And I left time in an instant, less than an instant. It was boom. And I could have been gone 1,000 years. But I was gone in time for about a half hour. But it was that sense of immediacy. And it happened, it happened once when I was a little after I was electrocuted. Then it happened again in Lebanon when Barry held me hostage. He was doing this countdown, you know, he's real dramatic. He had a gun in my mouth. And he was counting down, and he got down to three. But just before that three, I left again. And so it was like the time for him to say from four to three was the time in which, because I said, Father, I accept my death, because I thought I was a goner for sure. And again, immediately I left time. Now that sense has never left me. That sense of that immediacy, it's this time, it's not just to go there to see something, it's to go there and everything else is gone. And that's the kind of urgency that I'm trying to communicate, apparently not too well. But that's what all these things mean about immediately, waiting expectantly, hasten. It's all waiting, saying that this next thing may happen at your next breath. What? You're doing it.
Well, I'm curious to, when you said that, it wasn't any act of your will that put you out of time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
But I
took you out.
Right, because there was full repentance on my part.
Yeah, in that moment.
And the same thing happened in with a gun in my mouth. And it's happened many other times when I was in deep pain and I just left.
Yeah.
But it's not, you don't do it by some little exercise you go through. It's something that can't be duplicated by the mind or by the flesh. It has to be something that has to do with your full acceptance of your death, which is repentance.
You're saying it's not a learned behavior.
No.
Yeah. You can't even teach.
No, it's not. It just sounds goofy.
Yeah, but you can preach repentance.
The Greeks, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, but it's foolishness to the Greeks. I mean, everything I talk about is foolishness to anybody with any sense. I think I lost my sense. All right.
Leaving time is like supernatural or miraculous or spiritual in some way.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. See what Paul said about it. I think it's 1 Corinthians. It's one of those things. I, Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12, I'm sure. I'm happy. Yes. Well, Paul is just recounting his suffering as an apostle. And starting in chapter 11, verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory at the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will glory and I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heavens. And I knew such a man, whether it be in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it's not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now what he's talking about is the same thing, I think, that happened. I don't know which, whether I went to third heaven or what, wherever I went. But it was something that makes everything that you could possibly think about or experience in time, it makes everything of the, it makes everything else just seem meaningless. Meaningless dribble. Dribble, not dribble. And it's leaving time and space. It's the only way to describe it. It's something that happens with the Holy Spirit, and I think it's available to anyone who truly and fully accepts their death. No, does that answer your question, Mr. Bojo?
God summons you. God puts his hand on you. God yanks you from
home. Yes, I think so. Something yanked me. Something yanked Paul.
This is kind of, it's like he, in the body or out. You're saying in time or out. He's saying in the body or out.
So I think it's the same difference.
I think it's the same thing. It's just a different way to comprehend what's trying to happen.
Is he saying that he met another man that also left
time? No, he's saying him. He's talking about himself.
Why is he saying he doesn't know whether in the body or out of the body?
Because it's he was trying to put himself where he didn't glory in those experiences. He gloried instead in the suffering. So he was just trying to take himself out of the picture. That's the whole, when you read the, well, in chapter 11 from verse 16 all the way down to chapter 12, verse 13, it's all about this, what to glory in. Amen. Anyway, back to Luke. We have another one. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. It's a picture of the Last Supper again, but that he's going to serve you. The table is ready. Word blessed, remember the word blessed in Hebrew is Barak, and in Greek it's Makarios, and it's come to mean happy, prosperous, some good things, God's really blessed me, but it doesn't mean that. It means not subject to the fates. You're not subject to the vagaries of life. Because everything that has happened to you from before, when you were still in the loins of your father and beyond, he has wrought all your works in you. And you're not subject to any accident, any vagary. Let's go see it. Let's look in Isaiah 26 again. That's become my new favorite chapter in Isaiah. Again, this is Isaiah 26, just like the scripture we read yesterday, is a song. And it was sung by the Levites in the temple on certain feast days. And it's I'm gonna go ahead and read it. Because it's so important. What? Somebody, oh. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for he is the Lord, it should say Yahweh, instead of Jehovah, his everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul I have desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world would learn righteousness. But let favor be shown to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not even see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, now here's the part. This you got to pay special attention on if your mind has been wandering over this. Verse 12. Where did I just start? Verse 12. Excuse me. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. Thou hast wrought all our works in us. That was the hardest scripture for me to believe. I couldn't believe it. Because of all the crap that I had done, I couldn't believe that the Lord's hand was upon it until I read Isaiah 45. don't go there. I'm just going to read it. I could say it, but I want to make sure I get it right. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. When I saw that, my heart rejoiced, because I knew that I had done evil. And I couldn't possibly believe that God had been in it. And so the combination of Lord, thou hast wrought all our works in us. No matter what it is that has happened. Doesn't mean you don't have to repent for it. But it means that you can come to an understanding and have finally peace of mind. The evil one has no more power over you when you can hear what we've just read.
It certainly helps you forgive yourself.
Amen.
There goes free will.
Well, we never had free will anyway.
That's an explanation. If I don't understand
it. Well, it is. Of course it is.
I'm saying God is not in the evil, but he's in the causing all things to work together for good. He's in that recreation.
I form light, I create darkness, I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's what it says.
Yeah, I missed that
one. Let me read it again. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. No dancing around it. What?
So you can't say, well, where am I in that?
No, you're gone. That's why I've said you've never existed as an independent entity. You've always been a vessel for deity, and even when you were the vessel for the wrong deity, God was in control. Well, there goes religion out the window. All this is true except for Ronnie. And maybe Michael. And cell phones.
I'm making a note of this.
Make a note later.
Thought you're done.
No. Now comes another good part. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Now every one of the gods on the seven mountains of your mind have controlled you and manipulated you. Now, those gods, if you can see, once you can ascribe all to God, then they have no more power. You understand? Now this is the meaning of blessed. You are not now and never have been subject to fate, to the fates. You know, you remember the three, were there three or nine? I always get confused. Three fates. There were nine some.
Muses.
I'm just kidding. I know. You're not subject to fates. You're not subject to muses. You're not subject to anybody else's activity. All right. It gets better. No, they're dead. You'll make even their memory to perish. Just quit paying attention to the voices.
It's like to you who never existed in the first place.
Right. The you who were just an invention.
So what?
You're a puppet.
Yeah, what gives these things life?
You.
Who never existed. So there's this mind that jumps up.
Right. Well, therefore, the one that's doing it is the evil one.
Yeah.
And it's the evil one,
yeah.
The wicked one. So how can you not? How can you continue to use it once you've heard this? All right, come in. They are dead; they shall not live. They are deceased; they shall not rise. Therefore, hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. And poured out a sincere prayer. This part I love. When thy chastening was upon them, it was like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have brought, as it were, forth. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. This is why you've got to understand. This isn't talking about the guys in the grave. It's talking about you.
Yeah.
Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. For their self-seeking is what iniquity is. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Hallelujah. There's a decade of preaching from that one chapter. And it destroys all kinds of comic book theology. Many separate ways and many separate revelations, a portion of the truth has been revealed to all men. But now, the fullness of the truth is revealed in the Son. And he is revealed as your only life. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any response to all that? We started on Makarios. We didn't get very far.
I'm wondering what the Greek fates are. I've never heard that.
The Greek invented these gods because they come around and mess with you.
There's also the Scandinavian legend about them that they're weavers.
Yeah, there's all bunches of them in different cultures. They're the way they explain bad stuff and weird stuff happening to you. So they invented these little imps that run around and do stuff.
Maybe I don't really need to know about that.
What?
Maybe I really don't need to know about death.
No, just know about death. He lives, you die. All right?
It seems like this whole book circles around that point of you who never existed in the first place, because all our troubles and pains and sorrows are about us thinking we do exist and have existed, and that's also the purpose of suffering, is to bring you to the revelation.
Right, your suffering is not yours. You're
right.
Filling up the affliction. Do I get one, or are you just passing out to everybody else?
I didn't have any breakfast, so I don't think.
Oh, now get fancy. I'll make a little bird out of it. Oh.
I gotta switch off. I get big guy.